I'm Pastor Myron Daum. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening. Well, please take your copy of God's Word and open it with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. The Holy Spirit had arrived in dramatic fashion on the morning of the Feast of Pentecost, and the church was born. 3,000 people turned to faith in Jesus that day and were baptized throughout the numerous pools in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit immediately impacted how these new believers, the church, would relate to God's word, to each other, to God Himself, and to the world around them. As followers of Jesus today, we are part of this same church. The people of God who trust Him and obey Him in faith. And we realize, as they did, our need for the Holy Spirit's filling. We know it is impossible for us to follow Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit's power. In fact, we know that we need everything we need from God is provided to us by the Holy Spirit, which is why we seek Him for more, as we just sang and prayed together. We begin each day asking for the Spirit's filling, surrendering our lives to His control, so we can be empowered to follow Jesus throughout this day. There's a cooperation that occurs between our mind and hearts and the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, give us more understanding of our need for You. Holy Spirit, fill us with more of Your presence and Your peace. And we know that the Holy Spirit will fill us as we allow Him. In today's passage in Acts 3, we observe a miracle that demonstrates what we each most desperately need from the Holy Spirit. And it is our next step today. We must seek the Holy Spirit for, say it with me, more faith. Faith is something we need more of. We cannot generate faith ourselves. Only God, through His Holy Spirit, can grant faith. So we seek Him for more. Lord, give us more faith. We know even the faith we have to believe in Jesus is a gift from God, isn't it? We don't generate faith on our own. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 makes it so clear for us. Look at this verse with me, and would you please say it with me? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You cannot get more faith by working for it. You cannot will yourself to have more faith. You can only take this next step and seek God, seek the Holy Spirit for more faith. Seek Him to fill you, to push past your natural sinful tendencies to be fearful, overly cautious, and avoidant, and trust Him to embolden you with more faith, more courage, more willingness to trust and follow. The Holy Spirit is able to supernaturally expand our capacity to have faith. He will do so for any follower of Jesus who seeks Him. In Galatians 5, it tells us this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As Christ followers, we have put to death our right to demand our own way, our right to do what we pridefully think is best. We have crucified that right. And in response, we have been given new life by God, a holy life lived by the Spirit's power. So now we need to daily, consciously keep in step with the Spirit of God. And He wants to increase your faith. He wants you to trust the Father's heart more. He wants you to follow Jesus even more than you think you can. He wants to expand our capacity to have faith in Him. The early church learned to trust, and it was amazing. Let's see how. Look with me now at chapter 3. I'm picking up here in verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. The church had not yet broken with the temple. So as with all devout Jews, Peter and John continued their attendance at designated times of prayer in the temple courts. This may have been a favorite time for Peter and John, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because of the significance that hour held. That was the same hour our Lord cried from the cross, "It is finished." It was one of the busiest times of prayer at the temple each afternoon. And so they were part of a large throng moving there into those courts. Verse 2. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. They providentially encountered a beggar who was being assisted by friends, being carried to his usual post. This man had been born a cripple. He had never experienced standing on his own feet. Verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Seeing them as decent prospects, the beggar broke into his mechanical wail, which he had repeated millions of times. "Please, please, a few shekels for a broken man." Verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," say it with me, church, "walk, walk." Dr. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, is careful to make sure that we get the total impact of what transpired right now. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, Peter helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This poor beggar knew he could not walk. So when Peter gave the command initially, he didn't budge. Peter, in typical fashion, reached over, yanked the guy up, and said, "Come on, buddy, you're healed." And he began to lift him up. At that moment, the bones and ligaments in his feet and ankles came together instantly. You've heard the story before. Don't miss the impact of this particular miracle. It happened instantaneous. We are accustomed to watching God heal our bodies over time. with physical therapy and medications and hospitalizations. In this case, this crippled man was given his ankles and feet becoming operable instantaneously. Initially, he took probably a baby step, right? Like, is this going to support me? He's watched other people run and walk for his whole life. This man's nearly 40 years old. And so he takes that baby step, and then he lifts it and takes another, and he's feeling his balance, and he takes a big one, and maybe he walks backwards a little bit and does a little jig, and he begins to sing and dance and jump and praise the Lord. He has been given his feet. Verse 9, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him. That's the same guy who would sit begging at the temple gate, the one called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter and John did what the church would do over and over and over from that day until now. With the faith they had received from the Holy Spirit, the church responded to tangible needs. Catch that again. With the faith they had received from the Holy Spirit, they reached out to the needs that were there before them. And from their example, we realize in Acts 3, the Spirit-filled church gives what it has. It gives what it has. You can only give away what is truly yours. Because Peter and John had the Holy Spirit, because Peter and John knew that Christ lived in them, because they were part of Christ's body, this new thing called the church, they realized we can give help in the power of Christ. And so seeing this crippled man reaching out to them begging, they were compelled by the Spirit of God to reach out with healing. Healing. This miracle was both literal and symbolic. Not only would the church care for the human body, this beggar could now walk, the church would also dispense care for the human soul. In place of spiritual lameness, there could be leaping with new life and hope. This rejoicing cripple, as he entered the temple, is sounding with jubilation as it bounces off the walls. Hallelujahs echoed off the vast cedar ceiling of Solomon's porch there in the temple. The church gives what it has, and it imparted joy. There was healing, and there was joy. Humorist Irma Bombeck describes sitting in church one Sunday when a small child turned around and began smiling at the people behind her. She didn't make a sound. She just smiled. Her mother noticed and whispered harshly, "Stop that grinning! You're in church!" And Irma concluded that some people come to church looking like their deceased rich aunt left everything to her pet hamster. This healed beggar had joy that day. He was grinning, and no one was going to stop him. The temple regulars could not understand what they were seeing and hearing. Verse 10 tells us they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. The church gives what it has, and it stimulated wonder. When there is power and joy emanating from the church and from us as followers of Jesus, the church, the curious want to know what's going on. The curious wondered why. And I believe that same Spirit-inspired curiosity occurs today as people who would normally ignore God are awakened to the reality of his presence and power when there is healing and there is joy. Sometimes, though, we seek the Lord for healing, and it does not occur, what then? Is it just a matter of more faith needed? No. We should not perceive faith as a silver bullet or a magic cure for all illness. Instead, our Lord often allows difficulties to remain, so we will learn to trust Him, to follow Him, even when it is hard, and to believe that He is still good, even when life is not. So the Spirit-filled church gives what it has. We seek the Lord for healing, don't we? And we encourage each other to follow Him no matter what. When He heals, there is joy and wonder, and our faith is built up. And when the healing does not occur, and we trust Him still, our faith is built up. Either way, more faith is the result. Verse 11, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade or Solomon's Porch. When the Spirit-filled church begins to exhibit power and healing, there is a specific danger to avoid. People may focus on Christ's servants rather than on Jesus Christ Himself. Peter and John were very quick to counter this danger. Verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" They disavowed any power in themselves, unlike so many today who measure their ministry success by how popular they are. And from this we learn the Spirit-filled church realizes it is not their power. Peter and John rejected the people's adoration because they knew the power to heal did not belong to them. It was not theirs. Instead, Peter explains exactly where the power is coming from. Verse 13, he says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers as Jewish people, has glorified His servant Jesus. You handed Him over to be killed, and you disowned Him before Pilate, though he had decided to let Him go." Peter reminds them, "You guys rejected Jesus." Verse 14, "You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. They had cried out for Barabbas to be released, not Jesus." Verse 15, "You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." And then Peter thunders in verse 16, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Peter crystallizes the truth for everyone to understand. Power comes through faith in Jesus' name. There is no other name by which we can be saved. A person's name comes to stand for their character, their power, if you will. Just think of the mental images that are invoked in your mind by someone's name. Let me give you some names that are currently in the news every day because these individuals are hoping to be the next president of our great country. Let me say some names to you. Stay alert to your own thoughts. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, Ben Carson. You hear those four names. With each name, you immediately have a different reaction, a different picture, a different set of expectations, a different amount of excitement or anxiety. Names are important. Names reveal a person's character. There is no name like the name of Jesus. When you hear the name Jesus Christ, what images, what excitement or anxiety is stirred up in your mind? Peter and John could reach out to this broken beggar only because of their faith, he says, in the name of Jesus. And any believer who has ever accomplished anything substantial for the glory of God would testify it happened only because of Jesus. When I hear of amazing things happening in people's lives, I've developed a habit of reminding myself how that happened. And I've used two words to remind myself. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. When someone texts me or emails me or contacts me or shows me something, look at this amazing thing. I look and say, only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. There's a family sitting right here this morning whose son was diagnosed with cancer. That boy's doing better. What do we say? Only Jesus. In the days ahead, as his treatments continue, he faces other challenges, we're going to pray in whose name? The name of Jesus. And each of us have family members and people we love and ourselves that we've been in bad spots, difficult situations, overwhelming scenario. And what do? We cry out in faith in the name of, say it, church, Jesus. And when the healing comes and the joy is there, we give glory to Jesus. And when the difficulties linger and we wonder what's going to come next, remember that God is good and Jesus is in this. Either way, all the way, all the time, only Jesus. Because only He has the power to change lives. Only He has the power to move mountains. Only He has the ability to take our lives and make it look more like Him. And it is faith in His name that everyone needs. Peter continues addressing this curious crowd. He explains to them in this chapter 3, that Jesus had to suffer to become our Savior. And it's interesting, he's contrasting the suffering of our Lord right here next to this dancing cripple who's now a disciple of Jesus and giving glory for his healing. And Peter says, look at this. He juxtaposes these two thoughts. There is suffering by our Savior, and it must happen that way so that he can return in glorious power one day. Verse 19, he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. He continues, and using Old Testament prophecy, Peter details God's plan further and reinforces God's intentions for us all. Verse 26, when God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you, to the Jewish people, to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. This message from Peter is clear and consistent. Our God calls us to turn toward him and away from our sin. And from this we realize the Spirit-filled church promotes repentance. The Spirit-filled church gives what it has. It realizes it's not their power, and they promote repentance. Repentance, or turning away from sin, is what the Holy Spirit longs to accomplish in every life. for we can only experience God's blessing, his time of refreshing, his smile on our lives when we are turning to him and away from sin. In fact, we must turn from sin to have more faith. See this clearly, friends. The Holy Spirit will not answer your request for filling and empowerment when you are consciously remaining in sin. You cannot live a life of unbridled sin and enjoy God's favor at the same time. If you want his peace, if you long for his power in your life, then you have to turn from your sin. He cannot give you more faith unless you first turn from your sin. The early church realized this. And from Acts chapter 3, we do as well. To take our next step, seeking the Holy Spirit for more faith, we have to wrestle with this question this morning. Do I realize my need for more faith? Do I realize how more faith in Jesus would impact my life, my thoughts, my decisions, my fears, my aspirations? The Holy Spirit wants to bless us with more faith so that we can keep in step with him. The Holy Spirit wants us to be able to give what we have. He wants us to trust the power of Jesus alone. He wants us to be free from sin. Do you realize your need for more faith? I invite you to take a moment and to bow your head and to talk with him privately in prayer. Ask him, Holy Spirit, do you want me to have more faith? Do you want to give me more faith? Let him speak to your heart. Lord, thank you for being faithful to us. Thank you for reminding us again today from your word of your intentions for us. As part of your church, followers of Jesus, you want us to give to others what we have, to do so in the name of Jesus alone. To steer clear of sin so that we can keep in step with you. Ah, Holy Spirit, we need you to give us more faith for these things. In our own strength, we'll just be distracted, caught up with our own lives, ignoring those with needs nearby, not even seeing them. Never imagining we could be part of God's solution for that person. Oh, Lord, then mix in the sin in our lives that lingers in the corners of our lives, and no wonder the church doesn't create much wonder these days. Have mercy on us as a people, oh Lord. Cause us to turn each from our sin and to you in faith. Cause us, Lord, to operate in Jesus' name, to give Jesus the credit, to trust Jesus for it all, Help us, Lord. You long to take us right where we are, nearby to people you have longings to bring to your heart, and you want us to be part of that equation, to give what we have, to point out with joy and amazement the wonder and the glory of your power in our lives. Oh Lord, by the power of your Spirit, speak to us, we pray, and direct our steps. We need you, Lord, and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.